Well, have you enjoyed it so far this morning?
Yeah.
All right. You guys right here in the spit pit, so just be aware. Just be ready. But you may be going, man, why in the world would you guys do this? Why would you spend an entire service just singing? You know, maybe you guys are just you guys just like singing. You know, that Pastor Dave, he's just one of those people that sits in his car. He's got the radio turned up. He's got his windows down, and he's just singing along with the music the entire time. If you think that, my name's Dave. You haven't met me yet. Literally, Dustin hates riding with me because I would rather ride in silence than turn on music while I'm driving. That's just the way I am. I would rather listen to talk news radio or sports talk radio than I would music. It's just me. It kind of, you know, sometimes when I'm in the car, it just is a little irritating. I don't, you know, it's like, oh, whatever. And, you know, so that music is just not, it's not my thing. But you go, so, okay, if music isn't your thing, why in the world are you dedicating an entire morning, time, energy, people, resources to do this, and why? Listen, we've been watching you over here. You're singing. I can see you singing. So what is your thing? Let me just tell you, the reason that we sing is because there is a bigger purpose behind it. It's not because, oh, I like singing and carrying a tune. It's because, quite frankly, over 50 times in the Bible, we are commanded by God to sing. 50 times. Over 50 times, not praise him, that's a whole nother group of times. It's literally, it says, listen, sing to the Lord. Sing, 50 times, over 50 times in the Bible. In fact, we are told to sing to God more times than we're told to not do a whole bunch of other things. And yet sometimes when we come before God and we stand in here and everyone up here is leading us in musical worship, I know that there are some of us that do one of these things. And not because it's like the cool, like, flat-billed hat thing. It's like, or you grip, it's like the death grip on the chair in front of you. You know what I'm talking about? The white knuckled, no. And sometimes it's because, it's like, we're just not comfortable with that. Let me tell you something. God has created us to be a people of praise, a people of shouting, a people of joy. And I'm not talking about just because if you know Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, then you apparently have never been to a Colts game at some point in time that is 70,000 people praising a football team. And the most manly of men in here who are like, I don't sing because it's feminine. It's girly to sing. Let me put you in a football stadium with your favorite team. It's fourth and one on the goal line, and your team is down by 4 points, and your quarterback jumps across the goal line. I guarantee you, your painted belly is going to be jumping up and down, praising your team. Because we are made by God to be a people of praise and music. Is the way that God says, I want to be praised this way. And you go, well, why do we do that? I mean, what's the purpose behind it? Why in the world would we sing? Okay, yeah, the Bible says we're commanded to sing. Yeah, I understand that. I know that God's preferred desire of praise is through singing. I get that. But come on, seriously, the music, can't we just do it with our voices monotone? Here's the other problem. The Bible says that we are supposed to praise God with our voices, but he also says we're supposed to praise God with the drum. Says we're supposed to praise God with the stringed instruments, with the cymbals, with the lyre, with the harp, with all of those things. So music is not just our voices. Music is our expression through the instruments that God has given us as well. And so we sing and we shout. But you go, what's the why? Why do we do it? There's a great passage, and actually on the back of your worship guide this morning. It's found in Revelation chapter 5. And the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, and he was kind of stranded there. He was left there. It was a prison for him of sorts. And he begins Revelation with a vision that he receives from God. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, shows up and says, listen, John, I've got some things I need to tell you. And he begins in the first couple chapters talking about the churches and the representation of all the different churches that are around the world. And he says, some are doing great. Others need some help. Others just need to get it right. Return to your first love. Be back on what I'm called you to do and be. And then in Revelation, the end of Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says that John is taken in his spirit to go see what heaven is like. And that's cool. And John begins to describe it. And in Revelation chapter 5, he picks up. So if you've got your notes, you can follow. It's going to be on the screen behind me. John says this, then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. You see, he just got down to Revelation chapter 4 describing that when he walked into the throne room of God, there God sat. And he sat on this high and elevated throne, and surrounding him were angels of the thousands and the millions, and there were 24 elders, and there were four other beings that were there, and they were all worshiping God. And in the midst of this, John looks up and he sees God sitting on the throne, and in his hand is a scroll. And he sees that scroll and he says this, he says, there was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. And in the midst of all of this glory and awesomeness, heaven went silent because no one was found worthy to open the scroll, to be able to see what it was that God had next for mankind. And John says this, "Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to read it." I love this. "But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping.'" Shut up, dude. Come on now. Hold it together. And he says, "Here's why. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, he has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." He says, look, there's Jesus. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is one of the names that's been given to Jesus Christ because he was the one that fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God said, "I will send one who will conquer sin and death forever." He says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Look, there he is, but there's also another name that he's known by. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the name of power, of glory, of position. But another name he's known by is the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And so John said, "I looked up, and I saw a lamb, as if it had been slaughtered. But it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which represented the sevenfold Spirit of God that has sent out to every part of the earth." In other words, he says, listen, the Lamb of God, which was killed for your sins and for my sins, has sent the Spirit of God all over the face of the planet so that everyone would know who God is and how they can have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. He says, and he stepped forward, and he took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they had gold bowls filled with incense, which were the prayers of God's people. And you know what their response was when they saw Jesus Christ? Can you guess what they did? They sang, because he's worthy. And here's what they sang. They sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to be a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." They sang about the awesomeness of who Jesus Christ is. And John says, "Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and all of the living beings and the elders." And can you guess what they did in response to Jesus showing up? They sang. And they sang these words in a mighty chorus: "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And you know what? You are also in Revelation chapter 5. Because John says this, and then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. And can you guess what they did? They sang. And they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And all the elders said, "Amen." There is nothing left to say. We can't say it any better than that. We're going to sing it over and over and over and over again because it is true. We sing because he alone is worthy. There's no other person. There's no other football team. There's no individual. There's no nation. There's no world. There's no tribe that is worthy of our praise. You go, well, I'm uncomfortable singing. Well, get uncomfortable because God is worthy of your praise. I can't carry a note. That's okay. God says make a joyful noise. If you got a person next to you that can't sing a note, but they're singing joyfully, just go. It's okay, because God wants us to sing about Him, to declare His glory among the nations, because He alone is worthy. And because He is worthy, we sing. We sing. And we don't sing pretty because we have to. If you have a beautiful voice, praise God for you. That's why, man, that's awesome. But it doesn't have to be pretty or beautiful. It just has to be joyful because you are singing about all that He has done for you. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. He set you free so that you could sing. Would you stand with me? We're going to continue in worship. Father God, we thank You. We are absolutely humbled by the fact that You would give us this avenue of worship. God, we are in awe that You would be willing to receive our praise. We are in awe that the little scratchy, squeaky sounds that we make are something that honors You. And so, God, I pray that as we sing to You, that we would be open, that we would be transparent, and we would say, God, You can have all of me, and here's my heart. I pray this in Jesus' name, the One who is worthy. Amen.